Aleluya. Aleluya. Good evening, everybody. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Again, we thank the Lord for giving us the privilege to experience yet another night, and I believe it will be a moment of supernatural encounter in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Reverend Vindiolu. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the honor. Let me give you a counsel up front. Never take for granted the privilege you have to serve Jesus and to let people know He is there. With or without us, Jesus still remains Lord. Whether we are here or we go, He still remains Lord. It is, listen. Learn it. It is a unique and priceless privilege we have to be co-laborers to serve His purposes within our lifetime. This is a revelation. When I stepped in, I heard the man of God so powerfully sharing it, to be able to spend your life serving the purposes of the kingdom. If Christ tarries, whether we like it or not, someday we will not be here again. But there's an old hymn that says, "Thus will we pass from the earth and its toiling." It says, "Only remembered by what we have done." Are we together now? So every opportunity we have to serve the purposes of God, whether in worship, as an usher, the protocol, as a man of God, it doesn't matter in what dimension it comes, our hearts must remain humble. Thank God for the pockets of honor here and there that we receive while we serve Him. But your mind must never be in those things. You must set your face on Jesus, and your heart must continue to burn. This is already a sermon for someone. Because when we're in a meeting like this, many people are looking at many things. For others, they are looking at Jesus. For others, they are looking at fame and drawing a very negative inspiration. So it's important to correct this, especially because this is a campus. Hallelujah. Honor is very important. But I must advise you that you only remain in honor when your heart, your hands, your eyes are focused on Jesus. So thank you again, sir. We truly honor you. And then I'd like us to honor our father, and for many of you here, your grandfather in the faith. I believe arguably one of the oldest men of God that we know serving and alive, probably within the east of the Niger, in this nation, and among the oldest I know of who are actively serving in the gospel. Let's honor our father, Bishop Onubogu. Thank you, sir. Is this the best you can do? Praise the name of the Lord. For many of us, our parents were not yet born when he started serving the gospel actively. And he's still standing there. When you see a man stand like this, there are just a few more steps, and this is a man in his 80s and yet standing as strong as he is. Many of us have only served the Lord for 4 years and we're tired. Some just started ministry, you are yet to even do a first year anniversary, and you're already tired. You're about to throw this thing and go and look for a job. But here is a man who has served for decades. One more time. East of the Niger, please honor your very own, our father, the bishop. Hallelujah. Similarly, I'd like us to honor, listen, the call to be a man of God is the noblest call any man can have in this side of God's kingdom. The second most honorable position that God gives man outside being a man of God is being a father or a mother, a parent. The third most honorable position is being a monarch. There are positions that money cannot buy. The highest of them is the privilege to represent the purposes of the kingdom. The second is the privilege to raise another life and train another life and release that life. It's greater than anything, degrees, whatever it is. The honor of being a parent, physically, spiritually, that you oversee a life from start until you release them. And then the third is the honor of being a monarch, because nothing dethrones you ordinarily until death. All of these three noble calls, it is only death that does you part. So I'd like us to, while standing, appreciate. You know, we live in a time where it's easy to criticize men of God. It's easy to tear people down. My pastor does not have rhema and all these kinds of things. But many people may never understand the challenge that comes with bearing the cross. Many men of God have sacrificed their families, their children, to see that the gospel advances. Many of them have sacrificed their health. While standing with understanding, I want you to please honor the Lord for every man, every woman of God here represented, whether up the stage or across. Hallelujah. Don't just clap here and forget it. Let it be a lesson for you. Your pastor, your campus fellowship leader, probably anyone who genuinely names the name of Christ, you owe them a duty to, number one, pray for them. You owe them a duty, number two, to protect them. You owe them a duty, number three, to support them. Hallelujah. Are we ready for tonight? Please lift your hands to Jesus and ask Him for a visitation. Go ahead and bless Him. I love You forever. I love You forever. I love You forever, Lord. I love You forever. I love You forever. I love You forever, Lord. Lift your voice and sing with me. I love You forever. I love You forever. I love You forever, Lord. I'll serve You. I'll serve You forever. I'll serve You forever. I'll serve You forever, Lord. Be lifted up, be lifted forever. Be lifted forever. Be lifted forever, Lord. We lift You up, be lifted forever. Be lifted forever. Be lifted forever, Lord. Wave your hands, everybody, and sing Hosanna. Hosanna forever. Hosanna forever. Hosanna forever, Lord. One more time. Hosanna. Hosanna forever. Hosanna forever. Hosanna forever. Sing it one more time with understanding. You're talking to Jesus.
I love You forever.
Yeah.
I love You forever.
declaration that we love you as a people, unashamedly, sincerely, truly. Lord, we pray that Jesus will be revealed and even glorified tonight. Heal the sick. Let your press be delivered. Turn lives around. Impart your grace upon as many. Reveal Jesus in such a powerful way tonight. Birth saviors out of this conference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Turn to someone whilst you prepare to sit on your left and right and tell them, let your heart be open tonight. And then please be seated. God bless you. I was thinking about what I'll be sharing now, and I was wondering what I would really share and what I would omit, because to do justice to the issue of revival, the emergence of saviors, it will require more than a week long to cover topic after topic. These are very, very cardinal teachings as far as the making of mighty men is concerned. And so I will do my best to just touch on a few very important areas for tonight so that we can work with time. But I assure you that there is a lot to cover. The entire course content that exposes us to what it takes to be mightily used by God is a vast content that we must meticulously approach. But we trust God for grace tonight in Jesus' name. God still desires to use men. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 5. The Bible exposes us to a discussion between a young prophet on his way to beginning the process that would lead him to later become a marvelous prophet unto the nations. Verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's follow the discourse up to verse 11. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, the Bible says, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. So that was Jeremiah's designation as far as his assignment, as far as his witness was concerned. And then Jeremiah in fear responded, verse 6. He says, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. Why? For I am a child. Jeremiah began to lament, Lord, how would you commit such an enormous responsibility of being a prophet to the nations? I am but a child. But the Lord rebuked him in verse 7 and said, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Everybody say, send thee. One more time, say, send thee. Take note of that. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then verse 9. He says, He put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. 10. See, I have set thee this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. The assignment of a gentleman. As a young boy, Jeremiah had this encounter with the God of the Bible. And the context of that encounter was a revelation to him about his assignment, about that which the Lord would commit unto him. And knowing the vastness of the responsibility that came with that assignment, he began to cry. And he said, Lord, I cannot do this. I am but a child. They wouldn't pay attention to me. And he says, No, do not say that. But you shall go to whoever I shall send you to, and you shall say everything I command you to say. And you carry this consciousness that I am with you to protect, to defend you. Listen, in every generation without exception, the Bible, modern history, is full of periods in time where God would seem to find men and even women who will desire him in such an unusual way, and would have him begin a process of dealing with them that will eventually lead to their emerging as powerful men and women of God, powerful revivalists, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, and so on and so forth. Whether it is Abraham, whether it is Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, Elijah, Esther, Ruth, name them. The Bible is full of men and women who eventually became marvelously used of God within the context of their generation. And then the Bible is also fair enough to allow us to see the starting point of their journeys. For some of them, before they encountered God, they were idol worshippers like Abraham. Some of them were from their backsliding state. Some of them were even direct persecutors of the church, like Saul, who would later become Paul. So the Bible is full of the possibilities of this transition, that no matter who you are, where you are, and how you start, that there is a possibility of beginning a journey with God that leads to you being a savior, a witness, a battle axe, a generational blessing. If you are with me, say amen. It's important we get this background, because there is a predestination for everyone in Christ. The Bible lets us know that we are predestined. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I already knew you. Never the idea of being a biological accident, as we call it. There is no such thing with God. For every one of you sitting and hearing me, listening or following online, there is a divine destiny for you in Christ. There is a space as far as God's program is concerned. What you call purpose, please pay attention. What you call your assignment is simply your contribution to the manifestation of the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God on earth. If we decide, for instance, that we are going to feed everyone in this auditorium and outside, if we decide so, how many of you know that that is a goal, that is a task? But we are going to break that task into different units. Is that true? There are those who will go to the market. Are you with me? There are those who will do the cooking. There are those who will... Sorry about that. There are those who will bring the financial contribution. Is that true? There are those who will help to carry the wood. There are those who will help to slaughter the animals, the protein that will be used. Every one of those people are important, and there are those who will protect the foodstuff from thieves. They can't cook, but they can fight whoever wants to steal that bag of rice. Now, do you realize that all of them are important for that ultimate goal to be achieved? If the person who is to cook wakes up late, even if those who go to buy the food finish early, everybody will still suffer because someone failed in carrying out his duty. The person who should buy the foodstuff, assuming the person decides to quickly attend a wedding, and he will keep every other person. Those who are to cook have to wait for the food to arrive. So even if they are there early, because someone failed in his assignment, every other person will suffer that consequence. Let me tell you therefore, that for every time you delay in going through this school of the Spirit, someone else is paying the price for the delay. There is a generation that suffers for every second and every day and every minute you delay. If you are raised to be a prophet and you walk with God very late, there are people who will die who your prophecy should have saved. Listen carefully. Are we together now? So what you call your purpose is simply the role you have to play in God's universal agenda. What is that agenda? The name given to that agenda is Thy Kingdom Come. The manifestation of the fullness of the influence, the power, and the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul was mentoring the church in Ephesus, and he says, to the intent that now, unto principalities and powers. Ephesians 3:10. Help us, media. Now unto the principalities and powers, he says, in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. When Jesus was leading them to pray, he said, when you pray, pray thus: Our Father which art in heaven, he said, hallowed be your name. Then he says, Thy kingdom come. That is the name given to this universal mission. No matter who you are, no matter what area you will be serving the purposes of God, the name of the mission is Thy Kingdom Come. Someone shout it. Say, Thy Kingdom Come. One more time. Say, Thy Kingdom Come. What is the Kingdom of God? The Kingdom of God is a representation of the entire culture, the atmosphere, the value system, and the lifestyle of heaven. The summation of the culture, the summation of the value system, the summation of the power and the glory that resides in heaven. He desires that his kingdom come and find expression within this side of his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And he tells us how the kingdom comes: when his will is being done in the earth as it is in heaven. That means the kingdom of God will never come except his will is being done. So our assignment is to be enforcers of his will. Because everywhere his will is done, his kingdom comes. How do you know that the government of a nation is alive and active, or the government of a territory? How do you know that the university, the governing council of the university, your vice chancellor, for instance, and all the members of Senate, how do you know they are still active? Because their decisions are enforced. Any government that cannot enforce its decisions is not perceived to be in power. This is how it is with the kingdom. Is that true? Yes. Before we started my coming here, we acknowledged the set man over the ministry, the platform that has granted us this opportunity to share the word. This is very important. So we all have prophetic destinies in Christ. Now, most of us will be called into what we know to be the fivefold ministry. According to Ephesians chapter 4, when you begin to read from verse 9, but there are many of us who may not be called into the fivefold ministry. However, we will be kingdom ambassadors, we call it, serving the purposes of God. You need to realize that just because you are not functioning in the fivefold ministry does not mean you are not in ministry. I hope I put it right. Are we together now? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. God grant us grace tonight. From verse 9. Please go to verse 9. Now he that descended, what is it? That he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10. It says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And then he says he gave unto some, not all, some apostles and some prophets, please pay attention, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Next verse, he says, for the equipping, verse 13 now, the perfecting, or 12, the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Everybody say, the work of the ministry. One more time, please shout it, the work of the ministry. For the purpose of this discussion, let me distinguish something very quickly. The work of the ministry is the name given to the assignment of every believer. Ministry simply is a platform to serve the purposes of the kingdom. The Bible says those we call ministers are merely the gifts that prepare the saints, so that the saints now prepared will do the work of the ministry. So in reality, the ministers are not the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These fivefold are the gifts that prepare the ministers. Who are the ministers? Every other person mandated across different spheres of influence to represent the purposes of God. The businessman is in ministry. The professor is in ministry. The media giant is in ministry. The father is in ministry. The husband is in ministry. The trader in the market is in ministry. If we do not plant a ministry consciousness, then we will never be able to use our lives and what we do to reveal Jesus Christ. So for most people, we dichotomize our living. I'm not a pastor, so I'm not in ministry. I can do whatever I like with my life. I appease God by going to church on Sunday so that he knows that I am identifying with ministry. It's an error. Everyone shout it, say, I am in ministry. Now you realize that anything is called ministry when it seeks to reveal Jesus and bring glory to him. Anything at all that sustains the capacity, motivated by love and intended to reveal Jesus and glorify him, is called ministry. You have to get this definition. Are we together? Let me repeat myself again. Anything, any activity on earth that is motivated by love for Jesus and intended to reveal Jesus and glorify him qualifies to be called ministry. A woman's desire to bring forth a prophet who will be an advocate of the kingdom, that desire to get pregnant and give birth to a man of God is called ministry. A student's desire to study and excel with a first class so that someday he will become some of the spiritual gatekeepers within the educational sector, that desire and that pursuit is called ministry. Are we together now? The desire to raise responsible children so that someday these children will become leaders that will change society, that desire, if motivated by the love for Jesus and intended to be a contribution towards kingdom come, is called ministry. You have to get this. I'm trying to be as simple and as basic as possible. So the work of the ministry is not standing behind the pulpit necessarily with a crowd of people looking at you and then teaching them from scripture. No, that is not the original idea of ministry. The work of the ministry means to spend your entire life motivated by your love for Jesus, and that every activity in your life has one singular goal: the revelation of Jesus and the glorification of the same. The moment that becomes your pursuit, you are in ministry. You are not in ministry because oil was poured on your head. You are not in ministry because you necessarily just went through a theological seminary, as important as that is. You are not in ministry just because there is a title pastor or apostle. You are not in ministry just because you are a campus, what they call it now, a president or leader. You are in ministry first by your motivation, and then the goal that motivation leads you to. So it is possible to be a preacher but not be in ministry. It is possible to be a religious leader and yet you are not in ministry. Why? Because if your motivation is not your love for Jesus, and if your goal is not to see him revealed and glorified, no matter how spiritual your activities are, you are not in ministry. Wow. If I ask you, all the ministers, for instance, don't stand, but if I say all the ministers stand up, usually is the men of God here that will stand up while all of you clap for them. After this conference, of course, you don't go around doing it, but for the sake of this understanding, you now know, when we say where are the ministers, the students should stand, the doctor should stand, the mother should stand. Is that true? Are you together now? That you are in ministry. And if they ask you who gave you the audacity to be in ministry, your answer is, number one, my motivation. My motivation is to love Jesus Christ. It comes from a standpoint of love. And number two, my intention is to reveal him and glorify him. Anything done within the coordinates of that motivation is called ministry. You have to understand this, because there are many people today who are not doing the work of the ministry. They are doing church, they are doing religion, they are doing crusades, but it is not ministry. That's why we began this session by singing that song, I love you forever. It is my motivation. More than a desire to be seen, more than a desire to be known, more than a desire for ambition, more than a desire for progress, more than a desire for the applause of men. To see you high and lifted up, you are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. We'll see you high and lifted up. You are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. We sing holy, holy, holy. Are we together now? Do you understand everything I've said so far? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Obadiah chapter 1, please. Now we look at verse 21. It was important for me to establish that foundation so that we can understand every other thing I'm going to be explaining here. Obadiah chapter 1 has only one chapter. Verse 21 is projected. Please read with me if you can see. Ready? Together, let's read. One, two, read. And saviors shall come up out of Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Please look up. The Bible names a group and a class of people. He calls them saviors. And then number two, he tells us their mission, that they will judge the Mount of Esau to the end that the kingdom will be established as the Lord's in reality. Then number three, he will tell us where these people are coming out from. Zion. Take note of the following information. The name given to this class of people, he calls them saviors. Saviors. Mandated to preserve, mandated to defend, mandated to reveal. Saviors. That they come out from Mount Zion, and that they have the singular assignment of, number one, judging the Mount of Esau, and number two, seeing the establishment of the kingdom in reality. This is a very powerful prophecy, because when Jesus came and he began to teach, what we call the Beatitudes, he was adding flesh to prophecies like this when he said, you are the salt of the earth, he says. And he says, if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is for no good except to be thrown and trampled underfoot by men. Do you know what salt is? Salt adds taste, salt adds value, and salt preserves. Many of our mothers and the women here can tell you that there are ways they can preserve whether meat or whatever protein. They can use salt. Are we together now? To preserve. And the thing about salt is that it is never too late to add salt in food. There are ingredients that if you don't add on time, you've lost their validity or their usefulness. But salt, even when the food is on the table, it can save you that embarrassment. That means as the salt of the earth, it is never too late for you to manifest. Even if you give your life to Christ at age 70, there is still a place for you in destiny. Whether you add salt before you start cooking or after cooking, it's not a mistake that is outside of the jurisdiction of management. Salt always has a way of fitting into the equation. Many of us here cook. I like to use examples that have to do with cooking, because people seem to understand examples that have to do with money and examples that have to do with food. Are we together? So assuming you brought me a wonderful plate of food and I taste it and the salt is not enough, I don't look at you and say, go and throw that food and start afresh. No, I don't need to destroy the food. I can still sprinkle salt and turn that food around, and it will look as though it was there before that time. By this revelation, let me speak to someone. It looks like you are already too late in destiny. But in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, like salt, you will catch up, you will overtake, and you will be relevant. Who would have known that the mandate to be the father of nations will come upon a man who began his journey at 75? We're not talking of Jeremiah, who was a teenager. We're not talking of David, who was a teenager. We're not talking of Joash, who was a king at age 8, or Josiah at age 9. We're talking of an old man. Who would have known that a woman called Ruth, who already was married, the children died, the husband died, came over, and yet she became the great grandmother of Jesus? Salt. Oh, rejoice not over me, my enemies. I may have missed the purposes of God in 2015, but I am still salt. I'm coming. There is still space for me in that. Oh, there is still space. There is still space. There is still space for that prophetic grace on my life. There is still space for that apostolic grace. Please sit down. Are we still together? Salt. Then he says, ye are the light of the world. It is never too late. The thing about light is that light is always associated with speed. You never light a room and give it 5 minutes to be bright. The moment light comes, darkness goes immediately. Speed. No matter the pride of darkness, when light shows up, it is able to humble darkness, according to John 1 verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So everyone say, I am in ministry. Now you know what you are saying. I am in ministry means I am motivated by my love for Jesus, and I'm involved in activities that ultimately reveal Jesus and bring him glory. Everyone say, I am in ministry. Never forget this teaching tonight. Shout it, let the devil hear you. Say, I am in ministry. I may never climb a pulpit, but Satan, when you are counting ministers, do not make a mistake of omitting me, because I am in ministry and my contribution is so significant. So it is your love for God, your desire to see his kingdom come, that moves you to become a businessman. And when you are in oil and gas construction and people say, ah, Mr. Man, you like money, you tell them, no, let me correct that narrative. I am not just a businessman. I am a businessman in ministry. My business is only a subset. I am in ministry because my motivation is not just money. My motivation is my love for Jesus, and my intention is to supply the financial resources that will help lift up the name of Jesus. So you will pursue money unashamedly, knowing that I am in ministry. Madam, you have 4 children. You are about to have the 5th one. Are you not tired of children? And you tell them, I am a mother in ministry. I'm not just feeling children all around. No. I would have stopped at baby number 3. But I had a vision that my 5th child is a prophet. And I will not stop the nations from having that prophet. Therefore, my delivery is not just getting pregnant. I am in ministry. Hear me. You are a student here. If the only reason why you are sitting down to take lectures is because you are afraid of failure, it's not enough motivation. While every other student is listening, you are listening too. Why are you giving your studies this kind of attention? And you let them know that, number one, more than just a desire to do well and to excel, I am in ministry as a student. What is the ministry? I need good grades so that I will get to this place that God is sending me to, because someday I'm the one who will protect and defend the purposes of God. So because of that, I pay attention to what I'm doing. Your motivation becomes unusual. It is not just to pass exams and go. I love you forever. Now you know what you're singing. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. Hey. Can be a man of God, but what will make you a man of God in ministry is not the ability to preach. It is the motivation that I'm taking advantage of the privilege of the pulpit. Motivated by my love for Jesus, I intend to use the tool of teaching scripture, or the tool of preaching in a crusade, or the tool of prophecy, or the tool of ministering to the sick, to reveal Jesus and bring him glory. If you are a worship minister, you may be a Christian worship minister, but what makes you a worshiper in ministry is that you have the honor of using the gift of your voice and your songs, motivated by your love for Jesus, not a desire to have fame alone. So when you stand to minister, more than your voice, when you stand to minister, more than a desire to be part of the highest selling record artists, it's a desire to see Jesus glorified, and heaven signs you in and says you are in ministry. Elijah was prophesying, Isaiah was prophesying from chapter 1 to chapter 5, but he was not yet in ministry. Isaiah officially started ministry in chapter 6. Chapter 1 starts with him prophesying. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. And then chapter 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. When he saw the Lord, he thought
that they would say, oh, man of God, you are doing a great job.
When he got there, all he heard was, who shall we send?
Heaven was looking for ministers when they were still preachers on earth. Heaven was looking for ministers when they were businessmen on earth. So when I tell you in this end time that God is looking for men, he's had enough pastors, he's had enough apostles, he's had enough evangelists, he's had enough students. There are about 7.6 billion people on earth. Many of them are preachers, many of them are prophets, many of them are apostles, many of them are husbands, many of them are wives. Only a handful are ministers.
Is someone understanding my teaching tonight? Now, very quickly, I may not do so much tonight, just to give us this introduction. Let me share with you a few keys. Let's discuss the making of these saviors. How did these ordinary men become saviors in the Bible? And how do ordinary people transit in the spirit until they become saviors doing the work of the ministry? You have to understand how this works.
I lift my hands to you. You're the awesome God. I lift my hands to you. Awesome God. Awesome God. I lift my voice to you. You're the awesome God. I lift my hands.
Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Let's begin to examine scripture to see how God makes ordinary men. Listen to me. You are a young person here in ministry or trusting God to walk in the ministry. Now you know what I'm saying. Whether it is the fivefold or ministry as far as representing the purposes of the kingdom is concerned. Just because you have a destiny in Christ does not mean you will be used the way you are. How many of you know that every time you see a job vacancy, under that announcement there are conditions? Is that true? We are looking for a driver, say, and they will tell you he should have the following. Number one, a driver's license. Number two, at least 5 years experience. So when you look at it, even though there is a vacancy, you have to find out first whether you have subscribed for that qualification. An oil and gas firm is open. They are looking for A, B, C, D. But here are the conditions. If you meet that condition, you can take the step. If you don't, very sincerely, you back down. We all have enviable destinies in Christ, but sadly, not many of us will have the opportunity to walk in the fullness of that call, except you pay attention to what I'm about to share within the next few minutes. Lay your hands on your head and pray in the spirit in 1 minute. Lord, open my understanding. I'm about to share with you within the next 10 to 15 minutes the making of saviors. Please prophesy. My mind is open, my spirit man is open to receive. In Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 4, please, and verse 19. Let's see how Jesus himself recruited ordinary men. Because you see, theologically speaking, the way you study scripture is to look at the models. The Bible says the things that are written aforetime, they are for our learning, so that we through the comfort of scripture might find hope. Is that true? So we look at the model, the way it was done in scripture, and we build our pattern around it. So here is Jesus in ministry, and he's about to draw ordinary men who would later be the apostles of the Lamb, the bearers of this light. Are we following now?
He says, and he said unto them, follow me. Everyone shout it, say, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Leave that scripture there. So we see that Jesus had an assignment in the life of the believers, but they had an assignment to themselves. Their own assignment is follow me. Jesus never said follow it. He said follow me. That means the first requirement, listen to me, if you want to be made by God, the first requirement according to scripture is to understand that your calling is to Jesus, not to ministry. Your calling, I know we say we are called to ministry, but every believer's calling is not to a thing. You are not called to a city necessarily. You are not called to a pulpit. You are not called to business. Your calling is to Jesus. When Jesus finds you, he calls you first to himself. It is Jesus who makes. It is not ministry that makes. Follow me. Follow me is the first call. Listen, until you fulfill your calling, you cannot fulfill your ministry. Your calling to Jesus. If you have not fulfilled that calling to Jesus, you will never be effective as a savior. When God is about to walk with men, he calls them to himself. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. Come, follow me, he says. So you begin that followership. The goal is to eventually become a witness, a savior, a world changer. But the first assignment is to Jesus. Our calling is to Jesus. This is the secret of my life. You can never fail in ministry if you succeed in following. If you succeed in following, you can never truly fail. Everybody say, follow me. Everybody say, my calling is to Jesus. Now, what happens when he calls you? There are many things. I will run through them, two or three things, for the sake of the night. We're going to pray, and we may not have all the time to discuss. But the first thing that happens when the Lord calls you to himself, listen to me, when he calls you to himself, he submits you through a season of dealing that leads you to a state in the spirit called brokenness. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. When he calls you to himself, he does not send you. He does not empower you. When Jesus called the disciples, he called them to himself. He didn't send them. There was no mention of anointing. The first thing he began to do was to work on them. Their ideologies, their convictions, their passions. Are we together? I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh or the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, please listen to me. I'm sharing with you something very deep now. I'm showing you why many people are not powerful in the spirit. I'm showing you why many people do not have authority over nations and systems. Many people were called. They did not stay to excel in their calling, and they quickly left their calling to do ministry. When he calls you, it is to reveal himself to you and to make you. You see that pattern all through scripture. When Moses was about to be sent, the first thing God did was to call him. He saw a bush that was burning and not consumed. He said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. And the moment God called him, he said, take off your shoes, for where thou standest is holy ground. And he says, I'm going to send you to this and that and that. And Moses said, whom shall I tell them has sent me? And he says, you are calling for a revelation of me. I am that I am. When he revealed himself to Moses, and Moses had that encounter, he said, now on the strength of this encounter, go to Pharaoh. Do you know? Listen to me. It never tires me to share a bit of my story. When I started with God, sir, I didn't even know that there was anything called ministry. I sincerely loved him with all my heart. When I started with God, it was not a pursuit for money. It was not a pursuit for fame. It was not a pursuit for apostle. I didn't even know that I was going to be a preacher. All I wanted was his presence. All I wanted was his glory. All I wanted was Jesus. It's still my pursuit till tomorrow. Jesus. Jesus. It was not power I was looking for. It was not anointing I was looking for. It was not revelation I was looking for. Jesus. I wanted him desperately. He was the object of my pursuit. Reveal yourself to me, O Lord. Grant me the privilege of knowing you. Show me your face. Show me your glory. That was my pursuit. It still remains my pursuit till today. Do you know why it's important to meet Jesus? Because if you do not encounter Jesus, the challenges that will be waiting where you will send you to, you will not have the stamina to face them. I hope you know that between Moses and the nation of Israel in captivity is a wizard called Pharaoh. You are not going to be able to do justice to Pharaoh until you meet with Jesus. Elijah was asleep and he was given food, bread to eat, which was a type of Jesus. He says, eat the journey you are about to take. You have not started that journey. There is still a level of nourishment you need to have. He ate a little and slept, and the angel tapped him and said, I know where you are going. The journey is far. Prophesy to someone by your left and right. Say, my brother or my sister, the journey is far. Don't rush as if you are going to finish ministry tomorrow. The journey is far. Your first call is to Jesus. If you have not met Jesus, fame will kill you. If you have not met Jesus, money will kill you. If you have not met Jesus, honor will kill you. If you have not met Jesus, pride will kill you. If you have not met Jesus, lust will kill you. You may never know the tendencies that are in your heart until they honor you with some little fame. Apostle Joshua Selman, suddenly you find out that your passion for prayer is no longer there, because after all, it was an ambition. You wanted to be successful using the tool of ministry. I tell you this, as I grow in the Lord and as I grow in ministry and in leadership, I begin to see the vanity of everything in life outside of Jesus. And believe me, I know what I'm saying. In my own little way, I have seen God honor me. I know what it means to stand before kings and nobles. I know what it means to be honored. But I tell you this, it is absolutely nothing. If all I have is Jesus, I've got something more than gold. I will tell it to my world. Jesus is more than gold. Hear me, look at me. There are many of you here. If we keep Jesus here and we keep fame here, you will not only run to carry the fame, you will push Jesus while you're on your way to picking that fame. There are many campus fellowship presidents looking at me. You are preaching, but you are not in ministry.
because the idea is not the revelation of Jesus. There are many sincere people. It was never Jesus. It was a desire to outshine, or a desire to prove a point to your loved ones that you are not a failure. As important as that is too small a reason. While I sat back here and I watched many of you watching the protocol bring me, and people were clapping, you know my prayer? Oh God, may these people not be deceived by some of these things. Sitting in front, holding a mic, having protocol move you, those things are just systems of honor just to coordinate and appreciate the grace. If your heart, help those under the anointing there, if your heart is far from God, listen to what I'm telling you, you will never be a mighty tool that God will use in this end time. It is the reason why many people will keep preaching, but they will find out that God has moved and you are just doing your thing alone, and you are saying, God, you did not carry me along. He said, no, I carried you. You came down from the carriage in a bid to find honor, in a bid to find money. And many of you here, our wonderful ones and students, be careful who you mentor and how you get mentorship. Be careful what you are learning, because some of you, as sincere as you are already learning mistakes, not by bad people. They may be sincere people. Be careful what you are learning. Drop all this pride for nothing. Drop all this self for nothing. Looking for an empire for myself, and return back to the place where great men are made. Let me show you how the great are made in this kingdom. This is how they are made. For as long as your knees remain on the ground, you will remain on top. It's a mystery. Can I tell you this? Many years on campus, there used to be a lot of people, fellowships and different people, and I don't say it from a standpoint of sarcasm. There were all kinds of groups of young men and women, people in ministry around, and sometimes you would see a young man with over 5-6 protocol, with a briefcase, with some, and you see everybody just doing what they believe is the idea of ministry. And I was afraid for these people, because I know they were sincere people. I can tell you more than 99% without exaggeration, they are not even in ministry today. Because God is not a herbalist. No. There is a track record of brokenness. Please hear me. You have to learn this thing I'm teaching you. There is nothing in my life today I cannot give you. When Jesus calls you to himself, he breaks that flesh. All of the tendencies that can make you misrepresent him tomorrow, he now begins to open yourself to you. How you know it is the God of the Bible you have met is that he will reveal yourself to you, and you will see the field and the tendency. You will see all of the lust and the pride. He will not condemn you, but he will tell you, my dear one, you come as you are, but you are never sent as you are. The assignment is follow me and I will make you. Look at me. How do you make yam? You start peeling the back. Is that true? You think it's easy? You think the yam wants you to use knife on it like that? When you are washing the rice, when you are peeling the ingredients, you are taking them out of their original configuration so that they can fit into the pot. The onion came whole, but for it to be useful in the food, you have to cut it, and the onion has to stay. Sometimes the onion will fall out. You will hold it back and keep chopping it. But it is that staying power that makes the food look delicious. Are you willing to stay until you are dealt with, until you are broken? Are you willing for your pride to be broken? Are you willing for your sense of self-aggrandizement to be broken? So that at the end of it,
thing that is left is Jesus. Some of you, these are the dreams God has been showing you for a long time. Every time you say, I'm in ministry, you go to a dream, and that dream shows you a semblance of a training of the Spirit. Please take it high for me. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. It's not a special number. Don't sing it as a special number. At the center of my life, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Listen, I just wanted you to get that word. Hear me, my dear sister. Esther may start from Shushan, but between Shushan and the throne, there is a making that must happen to her. That version of Esther that came into the palace is not the version that will sit on the throne. Oh dear Ruth, I know in your destiny you will be the great grandmother of Jesus, but not this version of you. There are some of you who will be mighty tools in the hands of God, but the way you are now, the anointing you are praying for cannot come on this version of you. Not with the carnality and the pride and the flesh. So God says, I will anoint you, but not now. Come, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. If it's the anointing you are looking for, he says, follow me. Not ministry. Not come, follow ministry. Not come, follow mantles. Not come, follow anointings. Not come, follow sermons. Follow me. Not even come, follow a man of God. Follow me. Submit to my making. It may be painful, but submit to my making. I will give you prayer assignments to prune your flesh. I will give you fasting assignments to prune your flesh. I will give you study assignments. Are you willing to submit? I can send you to a fellowship. Although you're a man of God, I can say start as an usher. Do you have the humility to be an usher, although destined to be an apostle? Alakata paraska debeleke branda gabarusia kata. Shaveneke balakata proskatia. This is how the great are made in this kingdom. This is how men of stature and power are made in this kingdom. They are not made on stage. They are not made wearing suits. They are not made wearing a mic. They are not made with their pictures on posters. It is death. Death is the price for life. 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 Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Hear me in Sukkah. Hear me east of the Niger. The generals and the champions that are about to rise will not just rise as men of God wearing suits. You will be in the cave of Adullam. There is a dealing of the spirit. Some of you, that's the season you are in now. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Kalis kadebaretiata. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with us. Hear me. Let me tell you how God makes men. For some of you, you may not have a church now. Nobody knows you. God will not even tell you the extent to which he will use you, so that you are not distracted. But there is a mighty battle as heaven is training. Every night he will give you an assignment. Pray under that tree for 2 hours non-stop. You will finish and go back. Tomorrow you will go. Lord, what are you doing with me? Where are we going with this training? You just continue. There is the making of a savior happening. Hear me. There are some of you called to be kingdom financiers, to finance nations. It will not come because you have a business. You may receive your scholarship, or you may receive some money, and God will tell you, go and sow everything. He's not interested in the money. He wants your heart to be disconnected to it. Lord, why will I go and sow everything? Abraham, you want to become a father of nations? Let me show you. Take now thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest. Take him by yourself to a mountain and offer him as an offering. You are not going to do ministry giving people invitation. Invite me. I am an anointed man. No, sir. No, sir. There is a scar that you must have. That is the scar that becomes your honor. Let no man trouble me, he said, for I bear in my body. I did not jump the school of the spirit. I stayed. There are some of you, you are not members of, you are not leaders in any fellowship. You are not campus president. You are not pastors around the city. And yet, you represent the prophetic and apostolic voices that will be lifting the banner of Christ in this city. Apostle, how will men know me? Stay with the Spirit. We become known when we stay with Him. Follow me. Let the Maker make you. The Maker is an expert in making. He made the heavens and the earth. He can make any destiny. Can I tell you this? The making process is the hardest process in your journey of walk with God. There is a circumcision you will go through. Lord, why are you doing this to me? It's a circumcision. They can be holding a crusade that was not organized by you, and God will say, pay for 10 buses for that crusade and don't announce to anyone you are the one. How will they clap for me? That's what I'm trying to kill. Next time you want a mantle or anointing upon a man of God's life, don't just rush to get impartations. You must find out the pathway that prepared that vessel to be able to host that level of grace. Yes. Saviors shall arise from Mount Zion. Notice that when God is making you, there is no mention of anointing. There is no mention of impartation. You are not empowered when you are called. You are empowered when you are sent. There is a difference. Empowerment is when He's sending you, not when He calls you. You don't need anointing when He calls you. You need brokenness. You need discipline. It is when He sends you. We have to pray. I sense a boiling happening in this place already. Psalm 139 verse 23. Some of you are crying because the Holy Ghost is speaking to you. Return to the place where we started. For some of you, that's what God is saying. Return to the place where we started before fame distracted you. Return to the place where we started. Return to the four horns of the altar where no one knew you. Before a job and money and salary, before titles, apostle, pastor distracted you. Return. I'm still waiting for you there. You have not finished your training. They call you man of God. I call you student. Return back. I've not graduated you from the school of the spirit. Preachers, there are some of us that need to return. Lord, I'm in ministry, but I return. I'm not ashamed to start afresh. I'm tired of acting like everything is all right. Why am I not carrying the unction for the end time? Why am I around revival and yet not part of those lifting that banner? Something is wrong. Psalm 139 verse 23. Let's hurry up. We have to pray. Search me, O God. Let me tell you what happens when you come to God. When you come to God, it does not clap for you and say, M.O.G., businessman. No. His presence is not only a place of joy. His presence is a threshing floor. His presence is where he makes people. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and even know my thoughts. 24. Very quickly, same chapter. And see if there be any wicked way in me. I don't even know whether there is a wicked way in me. So before I disappoint myself, search me. Till today and till forever, when I go to God, I don't go to him as Apostle Joshua Selman. That's nonsense. Am I an apostle to him? No. Jesus is not my church member. He's Lord of all. So when I go to him, I still go to him as that his boy. Lord, they call me their man of God, but I'm here as your child. Search my heart. Search my heart. They call me anointed man. You call me student. I am still in training. They call me prophetic person. But I am still your student. Search my heart. Try my thoughts. Lord, don't mind what they are saying. My eyes are on you. Show me what I need to change. Show me what I need to adjust. Show me what I need to build. Don't let their applause be louder than your voice in my life. Men can clap you until you fall and die. Even when you veered off from the things of God, they will still be clapping for you. If it is power from heaven you want, if it is authority over systems, you can learn every Greek and Hebrew you want to learn. You will be shocked that the impact you think should come from it will not come from it. There is nothing that can replace genuine brokenness. You can fast for 100 days. If you are not broken, forget about genuine power. You can learn every Greek, Latin, Hebrew word. That death is the price for life. You can print posters. I'm not being sarcastic, forgive me. But you can place posters with your ministry and your face everywhere. You will be surprised that the result you think should come from it will not come. Because there has to be a witness in the realm of the spirit. I love him with everything. This is one of the secrets. You want to experience the hand and the mercy of God? The mercy of God does not come to careless people. It comes to people who admit that I need you. Just because it is mercy does not mean it will come anyhow. Your heart must be prepared. Lord, I don't know what I am without you. Tonight, I'll have to stop here because I need to pray for you. Hear me? The end time call, I can tell you this. The Holy Spirit is moving across nations like never before. The Holy Ghost is moving across Africa like never before. Moving across Nigeria like never before. He's not looking for everybody. There is a type of man that God is looking for. And it is my prayer in this conference, may you be that type of man that God finds for this end time fire that is blazing across the nations. May you be that type of worshiper. May you be that type of preacher. May you be that type of businessman. May you be that type of prophet that he's looking for. In 2 minutes, I'm going to allow you with the Lord your maker. I don't know how you are going to cry to God in 2 minutes, you alone, and say, Lord, I repent.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Cry your heart to your maker.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Is someone crying to the Lord? I come before you, O God, just as I am. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide.
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place.
2 minutes. Cry your heart to your maker.
Shema na ma na na ma ni na na. Ala barata gada brende gada kata. Shema na na ma na na. Shema na ma na na ni na ba. Rata bala gada brende gada brende gada.
Please pray. Just 2 minutes and we're done.
Oh Lord, will you set my heart on fire for you? Oh Lord, will you put my life in order for you? I want to burn for you. Oh Lord, set my heart on fire for you.
But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, there are vessels of wood and of clay, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. He said, if a man will purge himself, purge himself, that man will be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use.
Hey,
Hallelujah. I want to pray a prayer. We have a few minutes. But I want to pray. There are people here. There is a baptism of fire that is coming upon you. I want to bring the people out here. There is such a baptism of fire. This is not deliverance. This is an impartation of strange fire. It's coming upon your life, an ignition. Holy fire, burn upon my altar, within the Spirit to take over. Holy fire, burn upon my altar. Father, I pray, let this mantle of fire over Nsukka, at the count of three, let men and women catch fire. Men of God, bring them out. Women of God, one, two, three, take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost upon your life. The fire of the Holy Ghost upon your destiny. The fire of the Holy Ghost burning every chaff, burning everything that must die, that must go. Take that fire in the name of Jesus. Take that fire in the name of Jesus. Take that fire. Bring them out. Hallelujah. 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 There are people here who are stepping into a grace for intercession. Prophetic intercession is coming on you. Bring them out right now. I stretch my hands all over this auditorium. May that fire for prayer, fire for warfare in prayer, prophetic intercession, may that grace mantle you right now. Help that woman. Let it mantle you right now. Hallelujah. We're out of time. Bring them out. I'm praying for you. Palada Gabredega Dekas Koto Brahaskadi. Shamandas Kadila Hashkada Braskadi Bala. I'm seeing a call of fire. And the Lord is telling me, he's touching the lips of people here. He's touching the utterance. God is giving men and women utterance. Utterance by the Spirit. Capacity to speak with fire. Capacity to preach with power. Utterance. Oh, Getalias Katabata. May that call touch your lips. May that call touch your lips. Hallelujah. That gentleman wearing white, putting your hand on your head, come. Are you a pastor? Come. Lift your hands. The Lord is bringing you into a new dimension. There is a wine coming on you. Take that fire in the name of Jesus Christ. This new wine of the Spirit, indeed you will drink that wine and never thirst again. Never thirst again. This gentleman, you come. What do you do?
I was in the military. God told me to leave the military and do the service. To go into full time for him. So this year he asked me to move to Nsukka and align for him.
He asked you to do what?
To move to Nsukka to raise the end time soldiers for him.
Oh, God brought you here to do ministry.
Yes, sir.
Let me pray for you. I'm seeing there is a fire that is coming on your life. Right now I stretch my hands. Fire from heaven. Let it fall upon you and change your life. You will never be the same. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the Living God. This woman, I don't know who she is. You, come. This one, yes. What do you do? Listen, I didn't hear you. I want to pray for you because I'm seeing the Lord lifting you for his namesake. He's giving you influence among kings and even people in government. Do not forget the reason why he's doing this. Like Esther, the purpose is kingdom come. I stretch my hands. May that grace, that mantle for favor. You will drink of that wine and never thirst again. Man of God, what do you do? Huh? You are a pastor. Where? Here in this city?
Nsukka, yes.
Nsukka, lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Your life is about to change. The spirit of revelation and the healing anointing. These two graces. You have cried, you have prayed. It's time to step into that fire. Take that fire. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you are sick in your body, our time is up. Just lay your hands. I want to pray for you. We may not have the time to take testimonies, but lay your hands. I want to pray for the sick. Then I do the final impartation. How many of you brought your prayer requests? We asked you yesterday, did you bring it? Have you submitted it? Okay, now very quickly, here's what we'll do. Whilst I am praying for this group of people, please, ushers, or whether you are an usher or not, especially if you are part of this ministry, find something to do very quickly. Get the prayer requests and let's bring them to the stage here. Please, campus fellowship presidents or leaders, join and do something now. Please. And if you are yet to write it quickly. Write it quickly and submit it. Wave your hands. You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame. Just your prayer request, please. Just the prayer request. The only thing we need now is your prayer request. You look beyond me, oh. You look beyond me, oh. Oh. And I'm the one you have shown mercy. You have shown me mercy.
mercy. You have shown me mercy. You have shown me mercy.
I'm about to pray for the sick, but everyone, in 1 minute, I'd like you to pray everything that must live your life now. Please, let's save time. Open your mouth within the few minutes that we have. Speak to the Lord. Everyone here, is someone praying? Someone is praying. Father, this challenge in ministry, in my health, my family, these Egyptians that I see today, that I see them no more forever. This spiritual laxity, this lukewarmness. Very quickly, please, let's pray. Hallelujah. Now, when you're ready with the prayer request, please bring them up here very quickly. Let me pray for the sick. I promise to do that, and I'll pray for the sick. Among these people wearing white, the power of God is coming on one of you. Eh? There's one of you. I just saw an anointing, just a strong fire coming on one of you. Please help them when that happens. This fire is to ignite you, and God is going to begin to show you revelations. Very, very strange. Help them, please. Help her, please. Don't let them injure themselves. Whether you're an usher or not, help them. I'm about to pray for the sick. Please lay your hand where you are trusting God for healing. Lay your hands where you are trusting God for healing. If it's a part of your body you cannot touch, just touch your chest. I'm standing in faith with all the servants of God here, and we're about to speak healing to your body. Agree with me as I pray. In the name of Jesus. Nsuka, shout a believing amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, I command every devil of infirmity, hear the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, every spirit that is back of any sickness and infirmity, I curse you. Let God's people go now. Let God have a katoskete. Help them, please. Let God's people go now. Let God's people go now. Let God's people go now. Now I declare, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed, my God. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches, be healed in the name of Jesus. Every bone condition, be healed in the name of Jesus. Every blood condition, we change every genotype and every blood condition that is faulty, be changed now in Jesus' name. The Lord is healing hepatitis B. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every blind eye, please help them. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. Every blood vision, eyes open now in Jesus' name. Ears open now in Jesus' name. Every fibroid, every lump around your breast, your stomach, any part of your body, I curse it, be healed now in Jesus' name. Recurrent migraine headache, the Lord is healing it right now in Jesus' name. Every every infection that came from the realm of the spirit through dreams, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break that influence over your life now. Heart palpitations, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Pile. The Lord is healing pile. I declare healing for you right now in Jesus' name. The Lord is showing me a lady. You've not seen your period, your cycle for a prolonged time. And it's irregular, and for a long time you've not seen it. It's giving you concern. I declare restoration of normalcy now. Anyone barren here, hear the word of the Lord. Whether for you or for someone you are standing in for, I declare by the Spirit of the living God, barrenness comes to an end now. Hotness around the body, just severe heat, whether the weather is hot or not, help them please. Your body is constantly hot. I decree and declare, let there be restoration of normalcy now. COVID-19, be healed now in the name of Jesus. HIV/AIDS, be healed now in the name of Jesus. Cancer, be healed now in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, be healed now in the name of Jesus. I pray also for your loved ones. Some of you have left sick family members across various parts of this nation and around the world. Oh, may the angel of his presence touch them where they are and bring them life and healing. Like the centurion's son, may they be touched and healed now in Jesus' name. Anyone here under the sound of my voice, appointed unto death, that death has been following you or following your abakatoski diada, following your family, right now I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, oh death, where is your sting? And oh grave, where is your victory? I rebuke death from your life now. Please, I like you to stretch your hands towards the altar here. Everyone, stretch your hands to this prayer request. We are praying. Jesus is bringing healing, deliverance. This is the most accurate representation of your prayer request. In the next 1 or 2 minutes, I'm going to bow my knees before the Lord, and I want to agree with you that these Egyptians you see today, that you will see them no more forever. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands and begin to pray. My altar is calling you, oh God. My sacrifice is calling you, oh God. My worship is calling you, oh God. My covenant is calling you. Speak from the heavens and the earth will hear. Oh, speak from your throne and I'll hear from the earth. My worship is calling you. Someone is praying. Hear me. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God, that every request you have written here, I stand by the God of my covenant and I declare, let it be turned right now to a testimony. Let it be turned right now to a testimony. Let it be turned right now to a testimony. Let it be turned right now to a testimony. Let it be turned right now to a testimony. Let it be turned right now to a testimony. Hear me. Any altar that fights the answer to this prayer, may the earth open and swallow them now. Hear me. Every destiny helper who must partner with God to see that these requests are answered, we provoke their ministry over your life now. And hear me, anyone who says over his dead body for this request to be answered, may the earth open and swallow them. I speak to you by this apostolic and this prophetic mantle. Hear me, Nsukka. These Egyptians you see today, in the name of Jesus and by the God of heaven, you will see them no more forever. You will see them no more forever. You will see them no more forever. The same way I'm standing prophetically over this request, everything that has risen above you, I bring it under your feet now. Let me pray for you. We are rounding up. There are many of you who have seen this in dreams. There are mantles. There are graces. Some of you are in a strange season with the Holy Ghost. The Lord has been working on you, building you even for this season. Men and women alike, I pray for you right now. The mantle of your destiny that must come upon you and turn you into a savior, wherever you are, in the name of Jesus Christ, from my left to my right, from the front to the back, at the count of three, I'd like you to shout Jesus as you receive that mantle. 1, 2, 3, shout Jesus. Take that mantle. Take that mantle. Take that mantle. Take that mantle. Prophetic mantles, apostolic mantles, business mantles, leadership mantles, ministerial mantles, let it come upon you now. Let Nsukka never be the same. Hear me. I stand by the privilege of the prophetic. Gates of revival over Nsukka, east of the Niger. I stand as one sent. I speak to the gates of revival. Be open, hither and thither. Be open, hither and thither. Apostolic fire, prophetic fire, evangelistic fire. We declare Maranatha. Let the power of God come. Let revival come upon your campus, upon every church, upon the territory of Nsukka. Generals, arise. Prayer warriors, arise. Apostles, arise. Pastors, arise. We pray for every church represented in Nsukka. Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, for as long as they name the name of Christ. I stand in unity with all our fathers and the leaders, veterans of the gospel here represented. We declare over the land of Nsukka, the church is marching on. The church abatete bakata. Over your campus, the church is marching on. Over Nsukka, the church is marching on. Hear me. The walls of disunity, the walls of division, the walls of competition, the walls of bitterness and envy and jealousy. Men of God fighting men of God. Student presidents fighting student presidents. Fellowship fighting fellowship. Let it come to an end right now. Hear me. There is a dimension of God that no single individual can reveal. It takes the corporate body of Christ to reveal that dimension of God. I pray for the campus. The kind of excellence you have never seen on your campus. In the name that is above all names. From your vice chancellor to the members of Senate, the deans of the colleges and faculties, heads of department, lecturers, we declare supernatural intelligence and empowerment. And I pray for every faculty, every department, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the Christ, I decree and declare a new wave of extraordinary performance. Hear me. Some of you are wondering and say, Apostle, is it not when I pay my school fees that I can even finish? I pray for you. May help arise from unusual sources. I say it again, may help arise from unusual sources. By prophecy, even though it is a meeting hosted by Shekinah Assemblies, but because we have stepped our feet upon this campus, we attract helpers within the country and out of this country. May they come into your campus and support the cause of the kingdom. May they support development. May they bring grants that will help the students excel. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. If there is any reign of cultism on your campus, I step my feet upon this ground. We command the edge to fight anyone who becomes a nuisance to the advancement of studies upon this campus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Finally, we pray for Shekinah Assembly. The privileged ministry that God has sent, many of you are connected to this grace. We have to honor the vessel and the ministry that God used. For all of you who are part of this church family or will be part of this church family, I stand and declare by the Spirit of the living God, let it be a new season for you. Let it be a new season for you. Let it be a new season for you. I pray for the man of God, Reverend Vindio Lu, and his dear wife, the pastorate, the eldership, ordained workers, and all who stand to support this grace. I speak to you by the apostolic and the prophetic. Let a new door of influence be open over you. A new door of increase be open over you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I remember very quickly, I was told to do this yesterday. I don't know if we can do it. If you are a campus fellowship president, godly, born again, disciplined campus fellowship president, okay, and a joint Christian body, please come quickly and stand here. Let's celebrate them as they come. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Please come stand. Let me just pray for you very quickly. Quickly, just come stand quickly. Let's pray. Campus fellowship president and the joint Christian body, I was told, please come and stand here. Stretch your hands over these great leaders and pray for them. They represent the spiritual leaders over your campus. Please stand for space. Are you stretching your hands to pray for them? You don't have to know them and you don't have to belong to their fellowship. Just pray that the purposes of God will be established through their lives while they are on campus. Pray for discipline, pray for character, pray that they will be worthy representatives of the kingdom, pray that they will also excel in the academics. Many of you may never understand the burden of being a spiritual leader as well as a student, the challenges, the attacks. Pray for them. Pray that there will be unity. It's easy to fight, it's easy to compete, it's easy to compare, but pray that God will help them to mature to a point where they love and need one another more than revelation, more than anointing, more than ministerial calls. That they will look past the walls of division, they will look past the walls of prejudice, they will look past the walls of hatred, denominational barrier, and stand to lift up the name of Jesus as a unified force. Stretch your hands and pray for them. Pray for yourself for grace to respect them as touching their capacity as leaders. Pray that they will finish strong, that none of them will fall by the wayside. They will be men and women of character, men of fire, men who will excel in the academics even whilst they serve. And that when they are done with their program here on campus, they will not become a warning to others. Rather, they will be an inspiration to others. Many have served just like them, and today they have become warnings to others. Pray against the spirit of pride. Pray against complacency. Hallelujah. Now, please look at me, ladies and gentlemen. I salute you and I congratulate you for being leaders over this campus. Can I tell you this? Do not despise the enormity of this responsibility God has given you. Like Jeremiah, don't say I am young. But you see, it is required in all stewards that you be found faithful. I know that you represent different fellowships, and here and there might be differences in beliefs and all of that. But please make sure you and your fellowship does not become a nuisance to the advancement of the kingdom in the campus. Respect one another. One of the keys to unity is mutual honor. You cannot dishonor another president using the basis of revelation or basis of this, my general overseer is this. You will cause trouble in the campus, and the people you are leading, you will make them hate and fight one another. You must have the heart of unity. I know there are differences, doctrinal differences here, but you should be able to greet one another. How are you, sir? God bless you. My love to your fellowship people. Don't fight and don't mentor people. Don't give that false and childish impression. If it is not us, God is not doing anything. It's a lie. No single individual sustains the power to host all of God. It will take the corporate workings of God. There are some of you, it's the area of excellence and leadership. Some of you, the prophetic. Some of you, soundness of doctrine. Some of you, character and moral excellence. Embrace one another. There are some of you here who need to work on your character. I will tell you up front, obtain grace from God. Go and sit down. Don't say it does not matter. Work on your character so that you will be vessels enough. Some of you may need to work on spirituality. Some of you need to balance other aspects of your life. Do not forget that even though you are a president, you are also a student in the school of the spirit. Most presidents and most leaders, they take this thing on their head to the point that when they hand over, they can't even walk among people again because of shame. Because every respect was given them because of the title, not because people loved them. Love people and be humble. All this pride, throw it away. Do not subscribe to wrong mentorship. Don't subscribe to wrong, to anybody, including me. Don't let anybody mentor you wrongly. Look at our lives, but let your ultimate attention be on Jesus whilst you learn. Don't cause trouble in the campus. Be an agent of unity. Be an agent of love. Embrace one another. I pray for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I stand in faith and partnership with the various ministries and overseers and men of God who you represent in this campus. I pray together as a coordinated spiritual force. May His kingdom come through your lives. May His glory be revealed through your life. Let the era of jealousy and fighting and backbiting and tearing down one another and name calling, let it come to an end through your set. And I pray for your academics. Let it not suffer while you serve. If there's any one of you having any academic challenge right now, I agree with you by faith. May the Lord show you mercy. You will mentor the student body correctly. They will love you even beyond your titles. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you and I bless the works of your hands. It will never be that at the end of your journey that you will be an instrument of shame. Your honor remains with you even when you hand over. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. Go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Nsukka, once again, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for receiving of this ministry. I appreciate every man of God. May you go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name I pray.
Please remain where you are. Remain. Okay, this can go. We ask that you package a special seed for the servant of God. He's going to pray and bless those seeds. He will stay for a little. Pray and bless those seeds. I want to call on our daddy, Bishop Obi Onubuoku, to receive that seed. They will come out here, drop there. Those of you there will come out and drop there. Then we bring in an apostle. We pray over them.
I've been asked to invite you to bring your sacrifice. If it is painful, it is correct. And we are giving this sacrifice in thanksgiving to God for the obedience of this servant of God who has been to Nsukka 3 times. Is it 3 times? Yes. And has never been to other cities. Can you imagine that? So, we come from all over the southeast. I would like to inform the apostle. Not only on campus here, some of us come from Port Harcourt, some of us come from Awka, Enugu, Ebonyi, Umuahia, Aba. So this is your time. That is my assignment. I invite you to bring it forward now. Ushers are there at the steps. We should have ushers on this side too. Please send people over the other side. Or you can make your way. This is very, very important for you. And for all that you received, for all that you have received from this ministry, all these years and months. I know you've been to Abuja to receive. I know you've been to Zaria to receive. I know you were in Enugu to receive. Please bring it forward now. It's a rare privilege that you have. Some are watching on the net. Please show the account number so that those that wish to make transfers can do so. Please show us the account to pay into. This is a precious moment. Outside, make your way to the front here, the front of the altar. It's a real privilege and a rare privilege to thank God for the obedience of the man that It's been a blessing to us here at Nsukka, all over this nation, Africa, and the rest of the world watching right now. Please make sure that what you packaged, you bring forth. There are blessings of giving this sacrifice. Way to the front. Don't go home with what you packaged. Don't go home with what you prepared to give. Yes. Thank you for coming. It's not late. It's never late. Come forward. On the left side, come forward, please, and bring it. You packaged it. This is the time to present it. It's to the Lord for the obedience of His servant, choice servant. And we want to tell Him that we love Him throughout Southeast and beyond. We are proud of Him. We love Him genuinely. Let your sacrifice speak right now. Thank you. We don't have any more persons coming. Hallelujah. Can I pray a short elder's prayer? I represent the eldership of the state. And so, I wish to thank you also for obeying God to bring your sacrifice. He knows how to reward those who do this. May He reward you from now on. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we hear a better amen? Thank you.
Before we make the announcement and share the grace, Apostle, we'll be blessed, speaking blessings over your life for this seed, for this sacrifice.
Hallelujah. I really am very humbled just watching people come to sow and make sacrifices. One thing I would tell you is that once you do what you do with understanding, you can be sure of the fact that God is not a fraudster. He will exceed your expectations in Jesus' name. I decree and declare over the seed sown, the sacrifices made, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let it become a memorial for you. We give it life and we decree and declare that your seeds will return to you 1,000-fold. Let it return to you as wisdom. Let it return to you as favor. Let it return to you as the gift of man. Let it return to you as speed. Let it return to you as restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ. By reason of this seed, I call upon the Lord whom you have honored to step in over any issue of your life. And I decree and declare that financially you will never remain at the same level. I declare your seeds blessed for every soul that will be won, every life that will be transformed through your seed. Let it be added to your crowns in heaven. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.